Good evening. Welcome to the HIV Hour on Brighton and Hove 97.2 FM and on DAB Plus Radio. And don't forget, there's always our podcast you can listen to after the show has aired. I'm delighted to be joined in the studio this evening by the lovely Sue. Hello, Sue. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah. So in the middle of dodging rainstorms.
I know. And things, aren't we, what's going days? On with the weather? I know. Yeah, same old English story. What's going on with the weather?
Yeah, but literally, bank holiday, boom, then autumn.
Yeah, boom, yeah. Boom, yeah. We're changed. Yeah, everything changed. Pack your summer shorts away. Yeah. Get your long johns out, and there we go.
I did. I wore my long johns. Oh,
you didn't. Yeah, shame
didn't.
On you.
I didn't have trousers on top, but they were comfy, and I thought they were jogging bottoms until I put them on and realised they were. Skin huggy. Anyway, enough about that. You were listening to the beautiful South singing Rotterdam or Anywhere. And in fact, the tunes that we're going to be playing you tonight have got a holiday theme to them, because they're all based on the places that the swimming group from Peer Action have been to this year.
Oh.
So there'll be flavours of France and Canada and the Netherlands and Italy, amongst that. And I'll tell you more about Peer Action later, because we've got some fantastic news that anyone doesn't know about Peer Action, you're going to learn a bit more about it. So this episode has got a little bit of a theme to it. So we're going to be talking about activism. So in particular, obviously, HIV activism. And the other little side theme we're going to have is about some research and some studies that are going on. So activism. What is HIV activism? Sue, what would you say an activist is?
Okay, an activist comes in all shapes and sizes. What I mean is, you don't have to get on a massive soapbox in front of millions of people and say something or do something. Activism can be quite small within your own community. You're speaking out in your own community, and that could be very small. Sharing knowledge of what you know with someone else. You're actively seeking justice for someone else. You could be called an activist. So for me, an activist is all shapes and sizes, as in what you can do to be an activist. I mean, I know some amazing activists that do amazing, massive things, but I also know some people that do smaller things within their own community, David.
Yes, I couldn't have put it better myself, yeah. Really. So an activist, I think, is somebody that really talks about their HIV, in fact, they're living with HIV publicly, mm-hmm. really, because HIV is a chronic medical condition, yep. as we know. It's once you have it for life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is private information.
Yeah.
And you don't have to talk about it at all. I mean, people understandably quite private about certain medical conditions that they have. But in order to sort of break down the stigma, and mm-hmm. we know stigma affects people's understanding of wanting to test
mm-hmm.
and how to access services. Yeah, just talking about it, it goes a great deal to dealing with the fear and stigma about it, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and sharing the knowledge, and I've always got this key, that you know, shown this, you know, knowledge is power, knowledge of information, you know, giving someone that extra information to empower themselves, not necessarily to be an activist themselves, but to give them reassurance and understanding that they're not going to die from HIV, that they can possibly live a long and healthy life. But sharing that information with someone, you know, is just absolutely key.
Yeah, it's shared lived experience, isn't it? It's you know, just making other people realise that they're not alone. So,
yeah.
You know, if you've been for an HIV test or you're going for an HIV test, just knowing that mm-hmm. somebody else can talk to you about it,
yeah.
and, you know, just to reassure you about things. It's quite natural for humans to have anxieties about mm-hmm. anything in particular,
mm-hmm.
but to just to meet somebody with lived experience in any field mm-hmm. is really valuable.
It's the unknown. It's the unknown about what's HIV going to be like for me?
Mm.
You know, what's going to happen? I've heard these stories. You know, I'm talking about someone that's maybe newly diagnosed and maybe going for that HIV test for the very first time and thinking, oh, my goodness, what happens if? What's my life going to be like? I've heard these stories. I've heard these misconceptions and it gets built up, you know, but just getting that clear understanding, is, you know, it really does help.
Yeah, great. I know. Again, there's so much agreement today, aren't
we? Oh, gosh, I'm sure it's not going to last.
No. you said that, you know, we can have sort of very small acts of kindness and activism, but we also have very great results of activism. So, you know, a lot of the charities that we enjoy receiving services from, such as the Terence Higgins Trust or the Sussex Beacon or Lunch Positive, they've all been created from grassroots initiative, from the community, from activists getting together and saying, we can make a difference here, we can change things. So, you know, we don't have to accept the status quo.
No.
If we want better services, it's up to us to say what we need and to help steer people to deliver those services. So, the Terence Higgins Trust, I mean, you work for the Terence Higgins Trust.
I do.
It's an amazing organisation.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, David, I'm not sure many people understand that the actual depth of what we do, know, with the so many different layers of work we do within the community and within, you know, Brighton and Hove, the amount of services we can deliver and help and support people, you know, in all the communities we help and support. Yeah, so
there's testing, isn't there?
There's the testing services, the drop-in centres, you know, we do a lot of ChemSex training in Brighton and Hove for communities and organisations. Yeah. We do we've got the welfare, which we can support you going through PIP applications and housing and that sort of thing. We've got the HIV prevention team that go into the bars at night, you know, handing out condoms, handing out information. We've got the lived experience speakers that go into our local schools and talk about what HIV is like today and how, and, you know, empowering the young people of today's generation and the future generations, that it's a good idea to test and know your status. Yeah, yeah. So a home, oh gosh, you know, the endless list of things that we do, we have an amazing counselling system, you know. So, yeah, but, you know, anyone can connect to the Terence Higgins, just go on our website, call in at the office if you want some information.
Based right in the centre of Brighton. So just for listeners that may be new to the show, or maybe don't know much about you, what's your job title at the Terence Higgins Trust?
Okay, so my job role has changed throughout the year. So I am one of the lived experience program coordinators. So basically, David, I manage people who all live with HIV. And we go into organisations, we go into schools and colleges, and we talk about our lived experience to empower people about what HIV is like now. So, you know, through our stories and our journeys, we're trying to create a stigma-free city, a stigma-free world, if we want to extend that. So we do that by talking about what's happened to us, how we manage HIV, how we managed to overcome some of the stigma that has affected us and affected our lives.
I
mean, so
I've heard many of the speakers, and I would say that they are all activists.
In their own right. And some, like I said, some do smaller things, some do massive things that blow my mind away, to be quite honest. But as I say, you don't have to stand on in a massive soapbox to get your voice out. You can do so small,
Should we have another song?
Should we?
Go on, let's have another song. So I'm going to choose, this one is Mambo Italiano by Shaft. Wow, what a song that was.
I was jigging in my chair there, David.
Really good. Yeah, I've heard different voices of it, versions of it. So that was Mambo Italiano by Shaft. Shaft. As Josh would say.
He's up north.
Anyway, greetings to Josh, Philip and Stephen, who can't be with us tonight, but we send them our love. Right, what should we talk about now? So Stephen has actually sent us a great audio clip. So Stephen has an activist hero, an HIV activist hero, called Pedro Zamora, who inspired Stephen to become an activist. So should we have a listen to that audio now?
Right.
Come aboard, sister.
Radio Reefer.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM and on DAB Radio and podcast. So I just wanted to do a piece on advocacy and tell you a bit about an advocate that was a big inspiration to me. I think the majority of current advocates would say that there's been another advocate that has inspired them to tell their story. For me, there has been many, but the one that made the most impact was Pedro Zamora, and I'd love to tell you more about him. Pedro Pablo Zamora Diaz was born in February 1972 in Havana, Cuba. By the time he was 8 years old, he was forced to leave Cuba due to the revolution, and this meant leaving behind four of his older brothers and one older sister. Pedro and his parents and one sister and brother crossed the water and headed to Miami, Florida to start a new life. Pedro lost his mother to cancer when he was only 13, and a year later came out to his family admitting that he had his very first boyfriend. AIDS awareness was rising in America, but there was no information being taught in schools, so Pedro was not educated on this at all. When Pedro was 17, he donated blood and was called back for further tests as his blood had shown unusual readings. Still age 17, Pedro received the news that he was HIV positive. Pedro and his family were heartbroken, and Pedro's one wish was to graduate from high school before he died. By the time he was 18, and after he'd graduated, he was working for a number of HIV organizations, learning about what HIV/AIDS was and how to live with it and make the most of whatever time he might have left. Next, Pedro started telling his story in the hope that he could educate others, especially young people, about how to prevent them becoming HIV positive. Over the next few years, Pedro had spoken hundreds of times to schools, churches, on TV shows like Donahue and Oprah. And then on July 12, 1993, he testified before the United States Congress, arguing for a more explicit HIV/AIDS educational programs, saying, "If you want to reach me as a young man, especially a young gay man of color, then you need to give me the information in a language and vocabulary that I can understand and relate to." Later in 1993, Pedro applied to be on the TV show The Real World, San Francisco. He was honest with the producers about his status, but said that he wanted to be able to reach so many more people than he could by doing his talks. 6 months later, he was on the show, having beat 25,000 other applicants. On February 12, 1994, Pedro and six other housemates moved into the Real House apartment in Russian Hill, San Francisco. The other housemates were told that someone in the house was living with HIV, but did not disclose who it was. Pedro did not take long to share that it was him who was living with HIV, and immediately started educating them and tried to ease any concerns and fears that they might have. This was not always easy, and Pedro often felt tired and run down by always being the educator, but he never let this stop him. Whilst in the Real World house, he met Sean Sasa and they started dating. A few months later, Sean proposed to Pedro and they exchanged vows and had a commitment ceremony in the Real World house. They made TV history by being the first same-sex commitment on TV. Midway through filming, Pedro started to become unwell. His health declined very quickly, and it's believed that Pedro knew that his time was coming to an end. He spoke with the producers on the show and made them promise to tell his story to the end. Castmates often covered for him in the weekly catch-ups, as he was often too tired and unwell to take part in them. In June 1994, The Real World started airing each week. By this time, Pedro had a number of hospital admissions with pneumonia, night sweats, fatigue, and other issues. In August, Pedro checked into St. Vincent's Hospital in New York City and was diagnosed with toxoplasmosis, which caused him to develop brain lesions, headaches, and confusion. Pedro's T-cell count at the time was 32, and he was given 3 to 4 months to live. On September 3rd, he was flown home to Miami to be closer to his husband and family. At that time, the then President Bill Clinton telephoned Pedro to say thank you for all the amazing work he had done to educate and inform people living with HIV. Pedro had always made it clear to his family that he did not want to be kept alive by artificial means, as having gone through this with his mother, he knew how painful it was, and he wanted to spare his family going through this again. Once he became unresponsive, Pedro's family honoured his wishes, and on November the 11th, 1994, at the age of 22, Pedro died. This was only hours after the final episode of The Real World San Francisco aired. You can probably hear that writing this piece still fills me with emotion. 22 years was not enough. Pedro was born in the same year as me and the same month, so he would have been 53 years old now. And I can't help thinking what more he could have done. But saying that, I know that he fitted in a lifetime of advocacy to his 22 years. And every time I stand up to tell my story, I know I'm doing it because of people like Pedro, who showed me that sharing can change lives, like Pedro changed mine. Oh, thanks, everybody. Catch you later.
Radio Reverb.
Wow.
Yeah, so inspiring. I mean, you can amazing. See why. And Stephen himself is one of my heroes.
Yes.
And
yeah.
As an actor, uh-huh. Because what he talks about in his show Shadow Dreamer, mm-hmm. is shocking. Really, mm-hmm. it is what he's been through. But how he's turned his life around to not be sort of driven by the sort of the misfortunes that, that he's mm-hmm. had to suffer and endure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So not every activist has a dark story or a
no,
sad story.
No.
Some, have, but they all seem to sort of have an optimism, don't they?
Of course, you know, it's coming out of the dark and into the light. Yeah.
Sue, so I've got to admit this, but you are one of my HIV activists.
Bless
heroes.
You.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how long have you been speaking as a? Well, it used to be called Positive Voices.
It used to be called Positive Voices. Yeah. It's called the Lived Experience program now. So, I've been with the Terence Higgins Trust nearly 18, 19 years, and wow. I was one of the first speakers just after I'd got diagnosed as a volunteer. I started as a volunteer in Brighton. Mm-hmm. I think I was into my first year of diagnosis and, wow. you know, still navigating whether I was going to still be here or whether I was not going to be here or, you know, all the misconceptions I had back then. Yeah. So that's where I started. And not even foreseeing what the future was going to bring, to be quite honest, David.
That must have been quite raw to do it within your first year. Cause
I must admit,
when I was first diagnosed, I was in shock to begin with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were. You must have been,
I was, but I'll tell you what drove me and still drives me to this day. It's the anger. I had a lot of anger. And I think we all do. Some of us show it, some of us don't. We're angry with ourselves. We're angry with the people. We're angry with the world. We're angry why we may be blaming us. And this is all the self-stigma, as we know.
Yeah.
Putting ourselves in that position, blah, blah, blah. But I think it was the anger that drove me to try and make myself feel better, make myself feel more worthy and try and make a difference. And obviously things started to happen through that.
Yeah.
That so it came, out of the anger came revelations that I could actually do something to change things.
Yeah. There's an energy with anger, isn't
yes.
it? And it can consume you or you can redirect
exactly.
it and use it.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, I mean, you know, when I look back, I think, and did I really do, or have I really done all those things? And why am I still doing all of these things? But It's, you know, when I think I'm going to be calming down or taking a lighter seat, I see something maybe in the media, I see something that maybe happened to one of my colleagues. I hear their story for the first time of how they came about HIV, and I get reignited. Mm. I don't know what it is. You know, the lights keep going off and yeah. Trying to keep turning them off. And it's so difficult, David. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is
so difficult,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can hear when some of the lived experience speakers speak to mm-hmm. crowds, and they can be small crowds or big crowds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can be mm-hmm. an intimate space or a big public square, yeah. like the Jubilee Square yeah. outside the library. But you, uh-huh. know, you can see the crowd just listening intently and just the silence. You can just sometimes see their jaws drop when
yeah.
they see, you know, they hear what people mm-hmm. have been through.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, I mean, activists, I think they make the world a better place, don't they? Or their intention is to do so.
Absolutely. And if we go back through the decades, you know, when, you know, I mean, gosh, you know, you go back the 80s and the 90s and my gosh, they were activists, you know, when we didn't know maybe what an activist was with them, we were talking about HIV and what they did. And, you know, when you look at the stuff they were doing in America and, you know, and I always remember one thing reading, I think it was called to do with ACT OUT or something like that.
Yeah,
one
ACT
of the things,
yeah.
ACT UP, ACT UP. And I always remember seeing this thing on the television on one of the newsreels that, you know, that there was this massive parade and that was along, they were walking past the White House gardens, and the men that had lost a lot of their loved ones were opening the caskets of the ashes of their loved ones and throwing them in the White House garden as an absolute stick your fingers up. We're here.
Yeah.
Wake up, smell the coffee, whatever. Mm. And, you know, to have thrown their loved ones' ashes away in the fact of activism is just mind-blowing. And, you know, I always remember sitting thinking, oh, my goodness, you know. And, you know, we talk about activism now and maybe even a few years ago, but if you go back, you know, the 80s and the 90s where people were dying in the fight to get the care and the support and the medication we have today, David, you
yes.
know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
I am truly thankful of maybe the gay population that done a lot of that fighting back then. So we, as everyone, could have maybe that medication we have today. So Activision, can't even get my words out, can go back quite a few years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we are standing on the shoulders of giants and the people that have passed before
gosh.
Us as well.
Gosh.
And that's just that act of scattering the ashes on the White House garden. That's literally laying the dead at the feet of the president,
yes.
isn't it?
So they wanted to look up, listen, because they were just closing the door, and then there were the parade, and they were, you know, getting knocked down in the streets, you know, and they were... Oh, awful, awful! If you go back into history books,
look what's happening today. I mean, the cessation of the PEPFAR funding to much of the world now, especially you know, in Africa and mm-hmm. other continents as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the amount of deaths that are going to occur from that, or premature deaths through mm-hmm. lack mm-hmm. of access to antiretrovirals and things. It's
the impact is going to be massive.
The need for activists
is maybe even more so, David.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everyone doing their little bit if they can do their little bit.
Exactly. And so later on in the show, we're going to talk about some research projects that are happening, and that's inviting people to talk about their lived experience.
Yeah.
So and we will after the next song talk about how you can get involved and be an activist, at whatever level you feel comfortable with any organisation that you happen to mm-hmm. admire and want to be a part of. So should we have another song?
Yes, go on then.
Yeah, okay. So let's have this wonderful song from the Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra.
What a voice.
Wow.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.fm in the Brighton area and .com online. You can, again, access our amazing famous podcasts at any time. And David, we cannot finish that song without mentioning a global icon when we talk about HIV and AIDS. The fabulous, gorgeous, no longer with us, Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, Elizabeth Taylor was the first global recognised celebrity to speak out against HIV and AIDS. Elizabeth was the ultimate advocate. Today, her voice and vision guide all we do on a national stage and across the globe, raises awareness and promotes education about the most important issues impacting people and communities living with HIV and AIDS. And it all started, David, when she was, you know, when she was filming, and I've read her book actually, and it was absolutely a famous, I don't read much, but I read her book and I spoke of all her confidant, her friends within the gay community, and, you know, Rock Hudson was one of many that had died from AIDS. Yeah. And she thought, I had enough. No one else is speaking. And I remember she said this in her book, I'm going to try and do something. And it started small and it's still going really well, still after her death, many years after her death.
So, AIDS Foundation,
Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation. Yeah. Wow. And I've just looked, there's still loads of stuff they're doing in her name, in her memory.
Yeah. She didn't have to do it, did she?
Why did she do it? She didn't do it for money. She had enough of it. Yeah. She'd done it because of personal impact and the friends she'd lost to AIDS, as what it was back then, David. And and it's a great read if you ever want to read her biography. Mm. Amazing. Mm. And lots of celebrities, information you never knew, but it comes from the voice of Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, making a difference. You can make a small difference or a big difference. But it's a difference nonetheless. Make
absolutely
the world a better place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you for that, Sue.
No,
great. Yes, so as you quite rightly mentioned, this is a radio show put together by activists on 97.2 FM.
Yes.
And in fact, the whole of Radio Reverb is a non-for-profit radio station. So if you would like to donate some money to us, the price of a cup of coffee would be lovely, or more, or even a little bit less.
Yeah.
You just go to radioreverb.com and there's a donate button on the front page. For this show, we actually have our own website, and that's www.hivhour.org.uk. And you can email us with your song suggestions, ideas for the show, experiences you want to share with us. You can do that at info@hivhour.org.uk.
And if anyone would like to come on and share their story with us,
we'd love that,
fabulous.
Yeah, because I mean, every person's story is unique to them. It's very, very different.
Yeah,
and we'd love hearing from our listeners. And we're going to be meeting some of our listeners in the field, so to speak, at the weekend. But more about that later.
Yeah.
Just also a quick note, whizzing by this, but we're really grateful to Jack Russell's Technologies for sponsoring the show. So thank you to Flash and the team at Jack Russell Technologies. Thank you very much.
Gosh, so are we going to be talking about UK Cab?
Yeah, so UK Cab. What is UK Cab? Is it where you get a taxi?
Yeah, get a cab. Uber.
No,
Uber.
It's not. So UK Cab is an organisation based in the UK, and it stands for the UK Community Advisory Board.
That's the one.
And it's for people living with HIV, and it's a free group to join, and it's a place where people can share their experiences and influence research projects, caregivers, national bodies. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get involved as an activist, then that's it's a good way to do it. And you can just be a... So then what they do is you sign up and join them, and then they send you emails as and when people post. So it's like a message board.
Yeah. I mean, I'm part of it, and I get, you know, messages, what's going on, any meetings, any sort of seminars, any sort of educational, you know. And they do a lot with their medications, lots of, you know, things that happen with people's medication. Really informative, actually.
I think that was the basis of it, how it started.
Yeah.
And it's grown in its scope and what it's able to do. So obviously our treatments are quite complicated. I mean, you know, we do sell the idea that it's just one pill a day, but it's not quite often that it's quite that simple, especially if you've got comorbidities and you're taking several medications as well. So the UK Cab, so you get these messages coming through on the message board and you don't have to do anything.
No, you don't.
You don't. You can just absorb the information and from then you are a more informed person or patient.
Definitely.
And yeah, why not? So it doesn't cost you anything. You know, it's not spam email. You don't get bombarded with loads and loads. You can follow certain threads or groups like you would on other message boards that you think you have on the internet. So I'll just read a little bit from their website. So they're very strong on advocacy. So as an HIV treatment advocates network, at the heart of all their work is their ambition to give all people living with HIV and affected by HIV support to have their voices heard. So it's an online network and it has online forums that help and connect advocates from across the UK. So the member-only forums enable advocates to contribute to clinical trial design, comment on treatment guidelines, communicate with other advocates and to keep up to date with the reports on the latest research. Members can publish their own personal opinions and view or forward information from other organisations. So if you are a volunteer of Lunch Positive, for example, you could message the network and tell the network about the Lunch Positive events that are happening in the forthcoming future. So it's people together just sharing information, and that's really a form of activism, I think.
Exactly. And even being part of that, it gives you an insight of what's going on in this country, you know, what's going on around the world. So you get that first-hand information, David, you don't have to stand on that soapbox, we've just been talking about. You can still feel as though you're part of action.
Yeah. So the UK Cab, so it's the website address to sign up, and it's a free sign-up, is ukcab.net. So ukcab.net, ucab.net. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area. And if you're not in the Brighton and Hove area, you can listen to it on DAB Plus Radio. And don't forget, straight after the show has played, you can do it. Go to the radioreverb.com and go to the Listen Again page. And then about a week later, there's the podcast, which is world famous and downloaded the world over, isn't it, Sue?
Absolutely.
The whole world's
I know.
Heard our
it's
voice.
A famous.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, the whole world's heard your voice. That's about a microphone.
I know.
Sorry. Anyway, so we talked earlier before the song about how to get involved in UK Cab and just learn the information, the amazing information that's going around the UK about as a community of people living with HIV, we can get involved in the care that's given to us. So more locally, there are several charities that we're aware of that involve people living with HIV as activists, really. So the Sussex Beacon has a service user forum that meets every month or so to discuss events that are happening within the Sussex Beacon and the patient experience. Everybody is welcome to attend if you are receiving Sussex Beacon services or have used Sussex Beacon services. And we certainly know that exciting news ahead with it becoming the first LGBT hospice, as well as hospice and care centre for people living with HIV. So a great opportunity to get involved in that. So if you're interested in getting involved in that, why not drop us a line at info@hivhour.org.uk and we can pass you on with the proper email, because I don't quite have my papers to hand. So there is that. Sue, you work for THT.
They
use volunteers, don't they?
Yes, I mean, you know, if anyone is interested in doing any volunteering for the Town and Seacon Trust, just go to the Town and Seacon Trust website. You just pop in THT and then everything will probably come up there. It'll give you all the information on what volunteer roles, or you can also just ring the office at Ship Street, or even just pop in. You know, without giving out too much information. So I haven't got any numbers at hand, but you know, just put THT, Terence Higgins Trust, in on your Google and you'll get lots of information. A volunteer.
Yeah, great. So 61 Ship Street, isn't
that's
it?
The
right
one
in the centre of town. Really handy. You don't even probably best if you don't have a car.
It's a bit difficult to park down there, but yeah.
But great to know where it is, so just in case you might need testing.
Testing, information, leaflets, condoms, lube, all sorts of things.
Or meet the wonderful Sue.
Woo, you never know. I may be there on the occasion,
yes. Yeah, because you do travel around a lot.
I do. I'm a bit of a traveller, yes.
Yeah. Where's your next visit?
Well, I was at Brighton College this morning at the Met. Yeah, Met. Yeah. The Met sounds like the police, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But no, I do travel.
Good college, yeah.
Yeah, now that we're doing a great freshers fair there, you could meeting all the young people, tell them about all the services in our fabulous city of Brighton and Hove. Mm. Tell them to keep, you know, showing them how to keep safe, all the information, handing out the condoms and what have you. But, you know, I travel around a lot. I go to London a lot. I go to a lot of the Brighton and Hove schools. But,
The lived experience speakers, they're nationwide, aren't they?
Nationwide. So, yes.
Yeah. Is that just in England or is that the other?
It's just, we've got some in Scotland and we got a couple in Wales as well, David. Yeah. So, yeah.
Great. So, and if you'd like to be involved as a positive voices speaker or a lived experience speaker.
Yeah, you can just contact the Terence Higgins Trust again.
Also, our very own Lawson Unit, which is the HIV clinic in Brighton and Hove, has a patient panel. And that's really important to discuss sort of feedback, whether it be positive or negative feedback or just neutral feedback about the Lawson Unit clinical services. So they also have a newsletter, which they publish a few times a year, seasonally. The patient panel meets every few months. And again, if you email us at info@hivhour.org.uk, we can forward you details about the next patient panel, which is coming up in September. And the wonderful nurse, Collie Fitzpatrick, is chair of the patient panel. And we're allowed to bring friends as well. So I go to the patient panel, and it's been encouraged that the people that we already attend bring a friend, and they provide pizza as well. Sourdough pizza. So it's good for your gastrointestinal gubbins as well. Very nice pizza. And they do vegan ones too, if you are that way inclined. Patient panel, there's the Service User Forum at the Sussex Beacon. I know that Lunch Positive, they are always asking for feedback from their service users. Talking about that, the HIV Hour, we are going to visit Lunch Positive in Eastbourne. We've never done this before.
No.
So we're going to go to Eastbourne on Saturday because listeners may or may not be aware, the Eastbourne Lunch Positive group meet on the first Saturday of every month. And it's facilitated by a member of staff, Jim Stanford, who I regard as an activist because he's one of the few people I knew in the medical profession that stood up back in the day and said, I'm HIV positive, I'm living with HIV. So we're going to visit the patient group in Eastbourne. So if you do live in Eastbourne or you live near Eastbourne and you've never been to the group before, please do get in contact with Jim. And that's jim.stanford@lunchpositive.org. He'll tell you the details of the venue. But if you're already going and know where it is, then I hope to see you there. And you can tell us about what you want to hear from the show and what songs maybe you'd like. We do a little shout out for you.
Yep.
So it'd be nice. And I think we are going to go and visit some other community groups in the near future and just tell people about the show because we do want to be a part of the community. We don't want to be telling you, the audience, what to do. We want for you to be telling us what to do.
Yeah.
It's your show.
Share
your experience, share your knowledge, give us ideas, give us your songs. We'd love to hear from you. info@hivhour.org.uk. So that's it for activism. I think we've done a lot on that, haven't we?
I think we have.
We've got a little bit of news on research, and I'm going to just jump straight into that.
Yeah, go on.
Have you heard of the word SIDA? That's spelled SIDA. It's a funny word, and you may not be aware of it because it's actually a European word, and it's AIDS. It's AIDS backwards.
Really?
Yeah. So
wow.
In France, they call it the syndrome immunodeficiency.
Right, okay.
Crié or something like that. So,
yeah.
Because they pronounce things that some things are worried about, don't they? So, yeah. So SIDA is the European word for AIDS. And back in the day, so I was diagnosed in 1993. Now, I remember, I think in 1994, I was asked if I'd participate in a EuroSIDA study.
Wow.
And this was as they were taking what seemed like loads and loads of blood off me in lots of little bottles.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, go on then, why not? It's only one extra bottle. So anyway, I have been giving them my blood for the last 30 years or so. In fact, wow. Yes, it has. It's
gosh.
They have been celebrating 30 years of Eurocedar. Wow. I've never heard from them. Didn't know what they were doing with this blood. I just said, yeah, you can have your blood. In fact, a bit blasé about it, because I was only a young, 20-something year old at the time. Here I am in my mid-50s.
Yeah.
And they're still taking me blood.
Wow.
So, yeah, they emailed me a lovely little leaflet celebrating 30 years of Eurocedar, and they said that they would like to extend their thanks and gratitude to everyone that's taken part in reaching the 30th anniversary since the two people that created the study created it. What they have done with the Eurocedar blood. So since 1994, they've collected clinical data for more than 25,000 people living with HIV across Europe. And this includes countries like Latvia, Finland, Spain, France, even Ukraine, because Ukraine was then,
of course,
and still is, an independent country because it had already broken away from the Soviet Union at this point.
Mm-hmm.
To me, and other wonderful Europeans have been giving our blood, and they actually know now more about how to improve the health and quality of life of people with HIV across Europe and beyond. So in 30 years, they have published over 300 research papers, building steps for evidence-based improvements in HIV treatment and care. And the blood has also helped increase the understanding of the long-term effects of antiretroviral therapy and how to use it to its optimal advantage. Also, treatment guidelines have been adapted to reflect real-life patient needs, because sometimes boffins come up with guidelines which aren't really appropriate in the real world. So studying people in the real world helps them create guidelines that are more appropriate. And they've also noticed that the difference in HIV care between countries has been studied, and they've tried to make sure that people across the European continent receive the same quality of care, whether you live in Ireland or Greece or Latvia or wherever.
Yeah.
So important stuff. And it just shows the importance of research. And, you know, they've already got a needle in my arm. They're taking the blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's had no negative effect on me. And if anything, my little contribution. Sample of blood
contribution
made a difference. Me and 25,000.
Yeah, good for you.
So
well done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Been blowing my own trumpet there, but yeah.
Why
well
not?
Done. Happy
Why
anniversary
not?
To Eurocedar. The poppy study.
Mm.
I don't know if you're involved in the poppy study. Well, the poppy study is 10 years old. Now, the poppy study, I haven't got the words in front of me, but it's the pharmacokinetic observations of people over 50. So it's studying how people age, basically, with the medications that they're on. And now they're entering their 10th year, and they do their research in waves.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, in previous years, they've been really focused on brain health and aging, how HIV and antiretroviral therapy affects the brain. Now they're going into their fifth wave, and they're looking for people to re-engage with them. So if you've already been involved in the poppy study, I would encourage you to answer their emails, which they're sending out now. So if you do live in Brighton, the clinical research facility in Sussex House, just around the corner from the old HIV Lawson unit, is the place where the research is going on. Please do contact Stephen O'Farrell, who's the research nurse, and his telephone number is 01273 523079. So I think actually that's the telephone number for the research department as a whole. But so if you're interested in getting part in research, and it really does help other people. So again, this is only possible because of people's participation in the study. So you can be an activist by just being a participant
exactly
in the study.
Exactly.
And all you're doing is you're being studied.
Yeah.
But you know, so that's them. They're passively taking blood and making observations on you. There are studies that are a little bit more tailored towards the lived experience side of things. So there is a study that Stephen wanted us to share. And Sue, could you tell us about that one?
Ask Us Europe.
Ask Us Europe.
And it's by the Share. It's led by Share Collaborative at Queen Mary University of London. And share your experience. So it's asking, are you living with HIV?
Yes.
in Europe,
yes,
and taken HIV treatment.
Yes.
Great. We would love to hear your thoughts about your medical consultations and new HIV treatments. Your experience could help improve HIV treatment across Europe.
Really?
So our service was developed with members of the HIV community, David, across 17 European countries.
Right. Oh, wow. Do you know what? I think I'll take part.
Mm.
Yeah, and I encourage all of you to as
well.
Yeah,
there you go.
So it's all it's about just our experiences, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's just, I think it's a questionnaire.
Yeah,
I had a little quick look at it.
Yeah, you did.
Some very good names that are involved in it.
Yep.
I know Stephen's friend Angelina. A big shout out to Angelina.
Angelina
is involved. Yeah, so get involved.
Yep. So yeah, that's something you can do. Like you said, not standing on a massive soapbox, but you're contributing to future.
Yeah, great. So very quickly, we've got a little bit of local news. So we've got obviously the HIV Hour is visiting the Eastbourne patient group on Saturday. So please do come along if you live in Eastbourne. Also, I'd like to tell you about a peer action. So peer action, I go swimming with a group called Peer Action. They're all people living with HIV, and we all go swimming together twice a week. If you're interested, well, a little bit more, we go swimming on Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m. and we go swimming at 8 a.m. on Thursdays, and both swims happen at the King Alfred Centre in Hove. So if you'd like to join Peer Action Swimming, get in touch with me at info@hivhour.org.uk. But Peer Action is a group, it is a community group and former charity that is now a part of the Sussex Beacon. And it is for people living with HIV to help improve community and health and well-being by organising things ourselves. So if we want to do yoga, so we'll do it together as a group, we'll organise it ourselves, and this will be done under the safety framework of the Sussex Beacon as well. So if you want to do yoga, or perhaps you like to do some walks on the lovely countryside on the downs, or just some urban walks like along the Undercliff or from pier to pier, then just get involved, meet other people living with HIV.
It's like-minded ideas, do you know? So like-minded people.
Be the change you want to see in the world. So there is an open meeting on Friday, the 19th of September, at 10 a.m. at the Sussex Beacon. So, again, if you'd like to go along to that, we'd like to know numbers. So please do get in touch at info@hivhour.org.uk. Sue, on that day, 19th of September, there's something that THT are doing, Terence Higgins Trust.
Yeah, in collaboration with Marie Curie. So they're launching a new research project, and it's called I Don't Want Other People to Write My History for me. So it's exploring what's important to people living with HIV towards the end of their lives. It will be an opportunity to hear about our research project and the subsequent work we are doing together. Hear from some of the key people who were involved and celebrate the community who contributed. So it's something we don't like talking about, David.
No, but you know, we'll have to do it.
Yeah. So it's been recognised. We've been collaborating with Marie Curie for a couple of years now, in some pieces of work. So this is a new research report. So, it says plus you can see. I think you're signed up to this, aren't you?
I am. Yes. Yeah. So there's a link. So there's if you go to trybooking.com/UK/FFJB, you can get free tickets to the event, which is on Friday, the 19th of September, from 1:45 to 3:30 p.m. So that's a busy day. Friday the 19th.
Yeah.
Sussex Beacon in the morning.
I know.
Lunch positive, Terence Higgins Trust and Marie Curie in the afternoon.
Get your packed lunches out ready.
Exactly. I think Lunch Positive may even provide some food.
Oh, yes,
that's
of course.
A day of activism.
Yes.
So thank you so much for listening, listeners. We're going to leave you with Memories of Canada with Celine Dion and the Titanic tune.
Right. The tune. I love you, you say the tune. The tune.
Cheerio, folks.
Take care, everyone. Bye. Speak to you soon.